This is the Africa service of Vatican Radio.
Welcome to our half-hour daily program for Africa.
In today's program, you can hear our feature, Culture and Society and News for Young People. First, however, our bulletin of church news, followed by Africa News Panorama. I am Festus Tarawali. Pope Francis on Thursday morning received an audience, Italian pilgrims from the Camino de Santiago in Spain, also known as the Way of St. James, organized by the Opera Don Guanella. In his address, the Pope encouraged the group to reflect on the difference between a pilgrimage and a simple journey. The Camino de Santiago is an ancient pilgrimage trail made up of a vast network of roads and paths which pilgrims travel to arrive at the Cathedral of Santiago de Compostela. Francesca Merlo reports.
In his audience with the pilgrims, Pope Francis acknowledged the positive aspect of the increase in the number of pilgrims visiting Compostela and the tomb of St. James. But he posed the question whether people walk the Camino de Santiago as a true pilgrimage.
Il numero dei pellegrini verso Santiago in questi ultimi 30 anni.
The Pope pointed out the three signs that define a Christian pilgrimage. The first is silence. Walking in silence allows one to listen with the heart, he said, and to find, as we walk, the answers that the heart seeks. The second sign is the gospel, or as the Pope put it, always having the gospel in your pocket. Reading and rereading the scriptures is what makes a pilgrimage. A pilgrimage is truer and all the more Christian when the pilgrim gives of themselves to others.
Avere sempre in tasca il Vangelo.
For the third sign, Pope Francis coined the term Matthew 25 protocol. This is taken from the gospel passage that reads, "Whatever you did for one of these least brothers of mine, you did for me." The message behind this, the Pope stressed, is the need to pay attention to what others need or to those who are struggling. Pope Francis ended his reflection by encouraging the pilgrims in their apostolate of care and evangelization. He described how pilgrims in ancient times teach us, who complete Christian pilgrimages, to return as apostles. And during this Advent season of waiting, the Pope placed the Holy Family of Nazareth, pilgrims, he said, in the land of Palestine, as an example for everyone. I'm Francesca Merlo.
As Christmas approaches, Pope Francis is sending a gift of a mobile hospital and other medical supplies to Ukraine through the head of the Vatican's Dicastery for the Service of Charity, Christopher Wells reports.
Pope Francis is once again demonstrating his closeness to the suffering people of Ukraine, sending Cardinal Konrad Krajewski to the country in the days ahead of Christmas. Every day, Pope Francis prays for peace in this war-torn country, reads a press release announcing the mission. But in a concrete way, he wants to be present among them in these days when we will celebrate the birth of Jesus. Cardinal Krajewski, the head of the Vatican's Dicastery for the Service of Charity, will bring with him a mobile hospital, a large camper van that can be used for surgeries, as well as six ultrasound scanners that will be donated to hospitals damaged in the war. The statement from the Dicastery notes that the papal almoner will visit various communities throughout Ukraine in order to meet with the people, aiming at opening the door of hope in their hearts and praying with them for the greatly longed-for peace. As head of the Pope's charitable works, Cardinal Krajewski has overseen various papal initiatives in favor of the Ukrainian people, including making numerous visits to the country. In August of this past year, the Dicastery organized a convoy of several trucks carrying food, baby food, personal hygiene products, clothing, medicine, and other necessities to the eastern region of Kharkiv, one of the areas hardest hit by the war. Earlier in June, Cardinal Krajewski was himself in Ukraine for a visit to the city of Ternopil, where he visited a cemetery. During that visit, his seventh to the country since Russia's invasion in 2022, the Cardinal brought medical supplies gifted by Pope Francis, including an ambulance equipped as a mobile intensive care unit, as well as essential and life-saving medicines from the Vatican Pharmacy and the Pharmacy of Rome's Gemelli Hospital. I'm Christopher Wells.
Earlier on Thursday, Pope Francis received an audience Cardinal Reinhard Marx, Metropolitan of Munich and Freising in Germany. Cardinal Marx is currently serving as coordinator of the Council for the Economy. Shortly after that encounter, the Pope received the credential letters of Belgium's new ambassador to the Holy See, His Excellency Mr. Bruno van der Pluijm, before receiving in audience a delegation of the Muslim World League. In a meeting with Vietnamese residents in the United States, benefactors of the Pontifical Mission Societies, the Pope thanked them for their generosity. "I'm pleased to greet you during your pilgrimage to Rome, which occurs only a few days before the opening of the Holy Door, marking the beginning of the Jubilee year," said the Pope. "It is my desire," he continued, "that this time will enable all the faithful to have a genuine personal encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, whom we must proclaim always, everywhere, and to all as our hope. Your commitment to supporting the missionary and charitable works of the Universal Church is a concrete expression of this proclamation and will help to bring the hope born of the gospel to many of our brothers and sisters in various parts of the world," the Pope said in his remarks. From Apostolic Times, he continued, "Members of the body of Christ have supported one another with their resources. Your solidarity with the poor and those on the peripheries of society reflects the Lord's command to care for the least among us, and, as St. Paul reminds us, it is important that such assistance be given with a cheerful heart and a smile," the Pope said. He prayed that their almsgiving will continue to be offered with a joyful spirit and that their sacrifices will bear fruit in the lives of our brothers and sisters who in this way can experience the tender love and compassion of Christ. Continuing, the Pope noted that a hallmark of many Catholics who have immigrated to the United States from Vietnam is the strong faith they brought with them, which, he said, "I am confident inspires your desire to assist Christian communities in lands far from your own." You're tuned to the Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
African News Panorama.
The Electoral Commission in Chad has asked government to increase its security following several attacks on its officials by members of the public. Parliamentary and local government elections are scheduled to be held on 29th this month. Electoral officials have been attacked with clubs, iron bars and machetes on accusations that they are planning to rig the election in favor of the Patriotic Salvation Movement Party, supported by the military government. Parliamentary candidates of the party have been prevented from campaigning in some parts of the country. 180 parties have provided candidates to compete in the polls. The government of Rwanda has praised a French court of appeal which on Tuesday this week upheld the life sentence handed to Philippe Hategekimana, also known as Biguma, for his role in the 1994 Rwandan genocide. Mr. Hategekimana was the deputy commander of Rwanda's police in 1994. He was accused of ordering police officers to kill ethnic Tutsis and moderate Hutus. A lower court found him guilty of genocide and sentenced him to life imprisonment. He appealed against the sentence. Now, after the decision of the Court of Appeal, Hategekimana has been definitively convicted as a key perpetrator of the genocide in Rwanda. The survivors of the genocide have welcomed the verdict, calling it justice done. Hategekimana left Rwanda at the end of the genocide in late 1994 and fled to France. He acquired French citizenship in 2005 under the name of Philippe Manuel. The European Commission has banned Air Tanzania from operating in member states of the European Union after it failed to meet international safety standards. The Commission said on Wednesday that it would offer its assistance to Tanzanian authorities to improve safety performance and achieve compliance with international aviation standards. Air Tanzania joins several African airlines that have been banned from European Union airspace. Those that have been banned include Air Angola, Congo Airways, Sudan Airways, and Kenya's Silverstone Air Services and Skyward Express. You are tuned to the English Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
This is Culture and Society, and you are welcome to the program. My name is Kanyanta Godfrey Kampamba. It is assumed that a good number of people in the world still don't know how much great work is done by the Catholic religious orders around the world, whether running schools and hospitals, caring for the sick, rescuing victims of human trafficking, or supplying employment for the destitute. The religious orders provide essential services either in places where there is little other provision or for people for whom there is little other support. In addition to the operational functions assigned to it, the Dicastery for Communication of the Vatican also deepens and develops the properly theological and pastoral aspects of the Church's activity in the field of communication. In this sense, it also works on the level of training in order that communication not be reduced to purely technological and instrumental concepts. With the support of the Hilton Foundation, the Vatican's Dicastery for Communication has initiated a project aimed at building a dynamic global network of the voices of sisters within the framework of the Vatican media. This Pentecost project of the Dicastery for Communication is meant to happen while at the same time demonstrating how sisters are contributing to the work of the Church. There are so many facets to the project, but one of the ways in which the Dicastery for Communication is doing this is by offering the sisters a 3-month immersion or internship at the Vatican Media in Rome. During these 3 months at the Vatican Media, the religious sisters and all others that attend the course are helped to navigate the digital highways and thus effectively communicate the good news on social media.
My name is Beza Itasefa. I'm from Ethiopia, the Horn of Africa, and I work for the Catholic Bishops' Conference of Ethiopia as a communications coordinator at the Episcopal Conference.
Beza Itasefa is one of the lay Catholics to have benefited from the 3-month internship of the Pentecost project of the Dicastery for Communication. At the end of her experience in Rome, Bezawit sat down with me to talk about how she found the course and how useful it would be in her life.
I came to Rome for an internship program that was hosted by the Dicastery for Communications in the Pentecost project.
What is it?
This is a project that's run by the Pastoral Theological Department as part of the Sisters project, that they would like to promote, empower all the religious sisters who are working in at the root, at the ground level of the local church. So they have an agreement with the Catholic Bishops' Conference in Ethiopia that they would like to host, to have a sister in this program.
But are you a nun?
No, but it happens to be a lay person that they have sponsored from Ethiopia. So the national
office. And that happens to be you.
Yes, that lay person happens to be me. And the national office, the secretariat, works in collaboration with all the congregations. We have like more than 60 local congregations in Ethiopia, local and international congregations. And we work very closely. So in considering that, they believed that the national coordinator in Ethiopia could take part in this program so that it can, you know.
But won't the sisters be jealous of you that you have taken their place?
No, they're, they're all voice in support. Yeah. I believe they're a voice in support of empowering the lady.
The lady.
Yes. So again, this wouldn't be stop with me, just empower me. But I, once I go back, this what I've gained here, I will definitely give back to the religious sisters we have there, because we work in very close collaboration with them. So the bishops decided that I can fit to these programs, and they allow me to attend this program, and that's why I'm here.
That's
in
why
Rome.
You're here in, yes, Rome. Now, would you like to talk about your experience here? What you've gained, what you've seen around, maybe even a piece of advice about things that you have seen that maybe they've not been going the way you expected.
I say, especially in the very beginning, it was quite overwhelming, because it's different culture, different language, new people, new environment. I thought it might be a challenge, that I have a very little, almost zero background in Italian language, so I thought it would be more of a challenge, but due to this, the family that I meet in here in Vatican Radio were warm, welcoming. That wasn't a challenge at all. And I happened to have more of my time at the English section, so that wasn't a challenge. So while working with the Vatican Radio, the English section, I was able to understand the way how the church really, you know, managed the media.
What were you involved in? What have you been involved in?
I was
in the English program.
Okay, I was writing articles for, of course, the four sections. I was writing pieces about the world news. I was writing about press release that the Holy See release about the church. And
did you enjoy doing that?
Yes, I have enjoyed every piece of it. Because
that's what most of us do every day of our life.
Okay. I believe so, but I honestly enjoyed everything, because this is a completely new experience for me. We used to write about more about Ethiopia and the Ethiopian church and the Ethiopian bishops. And, of course, we translate contents from the Vatican about the Pope to the local language. That's usually what we do. But here it's been, you know, the range. There is a wide range of topics that are covered about the church in other continents, about the church and here in the Vatican. And it has given me a wider range to cover about different topics, to write about different topics. And what amazes me the most is how the church handles these different realities, these different cultures and, you know, situations of the world, and how the church speaks back to the community has its own way, has its own wise way. And that's been a really good experience that I could take with me.
But you also had experiences in other departments of the radio. Would you like to tell us something about that?
Yes. I had a chance to stay for two weeks with the multimedia department. So these days, the graphics that we produced over social media is very important, because most of the use, not only the use, almost majority of the community is on social media. So that's one thing that the church has to target. And I have seen that with a multimedia team, which is a huge team there.
How long were you there?
2 weeks. I've been there for 2 weeks. And the graphics, the colors, the codes that the church have all the standard, which is needed for the social media, and does have all the requirements or the what the audience needs on the social media. So I was able to learn that, and I was able to produce quality social media contents, videos, short videos, graphics that could, a single picture that could tell huge stories, how to produce those images. That was also part of my experience, and I was able to learn that. And the team was great there. They have been really supportive, and I had a really nice experience with them too, not only with the English section. And also, in addition to that, we have the Amharic section here and in the Ethiopian section, and I was also working closely with
them. You worked there also?
Not going there in their office, but we actively were communicating. 2019 especially, we have, while my stay here, we have two ordinal episcopal celebrations of two bishops, and we have also another two bishops here appointed for two dioceses. So we had a number of events, we had a number of issues that we were working together. So I was also working in close collaboration with the Ethiopian section too.
Now, if somebody asked you to describe your experience or your impression of the radio, how do you talk about Vatican Radio? Now that you have come to the end of your stay here, everything you have done wrapped up in a few sentences.
My stay at the Vatican Radio, it has been a wonderful chance for me to excel my professional career, to build a lifelong family here with all the Vatican staffs that I met and with the sisters who are in this project.
That was Bezawit Assefa, the communications coordinator at the Ethiopian Conference of Catholic Bishops. She was speaking to me at the end of her 3 months internship at Vatican Media under the Pentecost Project run by the Vatican's Dicastery for Communication in conjunction with the Hilton Foundation. And that is all we have time for in this edition of Culture and Society. Until next week at the same time, my name is Kanyanta Godfrey Kampamba.
And now, news for young people.
Hello and welcome to the program. I am Festus Tarawali. As you may have heard in our last edition, 20 young people from around the world on Friday ended their first meeting in Rome since their appointment to the International Youth Advisory Body of the Dicastery for Laity, Family and Life at the end of October to help the youth office of the Dicastery on issues related to young people. The members of the body, known by the acronym IYAB, were received in audience by Pope Francis at the end of their meeting on Friday. Devin Watkins caught up with Celestino Mufigo, a young man from Zimbabwe, and Yoon Lee, a young woman from South Korea, shortly after their audience with Pope Francis.
So maybe, Chun, you could tell us a little bit about this new body. This is the second iteration, right? So what's your mission?
So just like our name states, we are an advisory body for the dicastery. So what we do is we just bring experiences from our own lives, our own countries, and we share with the dicastery. And we also carry out the conversation in spirit method. So we try to do some synodal methodology together just with the people from 20 different countries.
And Celestino, you met this week, and this is your first real meeting as a new group. What did y'all discuss, and what did you work on this week?
Well, first off, the most important thing that we did was to meet and make friendships, which is the core that we always have whenever we have these groups. But on what we discussed, we focused more on our dreams from our realities and our experiences from our realities, and how we can then bring together those dreams and experiences to have one mission that we can work on together as a body. And also the central part of our discussions was the Christus Vivit and how we can use that in our daily lives. And also we use the spiritual conversations method during our discussions. So it was a very fruitful time.
And what kind of experience do you think from your own personal life do you think you can bring to this body that you think will help the Vatican in its outreach for young people?
Well, personally, I have been involved in youth activities, young people activities for about 4 years now. And the place that I am in, I am from Zimbabwe, and the demographics of that place where I come from is very dynamic and is very diverse. So with the experiences that I have from working with those people, I can then be able to bring my experiences and their experiences as well to the Vatican, to the Dicastery, and help the Holy Father in administering his duties.
Tune, is there any experience that you would bring that you feel will be helpful for the Vatican? What's your involvement with young people?
So as many of you already know, Korea, we are very religiously diverse. So the Christianity is not really a tradition or like lifestyle in Korea. So personally, in my whole life, I was trying to just question myself, like, where is God? How he is involved in my life? And I am involved in the youth Bible movement in Korea. And what we do is we study Bible texts together in groups, and we just do lots of personal sharings. And through that, I like kind of find how God's at work, just us as individuals, as groups, and like how in he works in the society. So I think that experience that I had in Korea, I can bring to good energy to the Vatican, I think.
And so this all grew out of the 2018 Synod on Young People. And Christus Vivit was the result of that, the Pope's apostolic exhortation. Is there, how does that guide your work?
The Christus Vivit, mm-hmm. right? Well, the Christus Vivit is like a manual that was given to us by the Holy Father on how we should, first of all, live our lives as young people, and how we relate to each other, how we relate to God, and how we can maneuver through the difficulties of life, and how we can assist each other in living out our vocations, and more importantly, on how we can be active to participate in the mission and life of the church.
That was Celestino Mufigo from Zimbabwe and Yoon Lee from South Korea, two of the new members of the second cohort of the International Youth Advisory Body of the Dicastery for Laity, Family and Life, speaking there to Devin Watkins. And that's all for this edition of News for Young People. Until the same time next week, I am Festus Tarawelli. You're tuned to the Africa Service of Vatican Radio. Praised be Jesus Christ. Laudetur Jesus Christus.